morning and welcome to the December 7th, 2021 Sussex County Council meeting. First thing is to approve the agenda. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members. At this time, we have no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained motion to approve the agenda.
I move.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions? Take a vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of November 30th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they will stand approved. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have several letters in appreciation of the Human Services grants. They are from Read Aloud Delaware, Barbara K. Brooks Transition House, Girl Scouts of the Chesapeake Bay, the Delaware Lions Foundation, Ronald McDonald House of Delaware, and the Community Resource Center. And that's all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. And correspondence from council. Correspondence from council. We'll move to public comments. This is time the public can speak to council, but I think the council has some control over interest in. You have 3 minutes. When you come up, give us your name and address, and the green light will come on here. You have until the red light comes on, and you're supposed to cease your comments. Anyone want to speak to public comments? Public comments. Anyone? Come on down, young lady. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Diana Wise. I live in Lewis, Delaware. I work as a social worker intern in the library system. I work for the Delaware Division of Libraries and the Delaware Department of Health and Human and Social Services. I have supervision and resources related to both of those agencies, and I have the full support of that supervision and those agencies being here today. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is my lane, which is quite simply, I help people. I became involved with a client, Ms. Elizabeth Barrett's plight, several months ago when she came in asking for help to save her home, a home she has lived in for the past 16 years and which she lives in and cares for her disabled partner. Ms. Barrett was behind a very modest $4,200 in property taxes, and yet her house was slated to go to sale. At first, I tried finding monies to just pay off the bill. Because she owns her own house, or owns her home outright, many programs do not apply for her. So we also worked to find resources for Ms. Best so she would not get into this position again. This has been accomplished. They do take a while to come on board. Meanwhile, the fines and fees and interest are piling up on this tax bill. And in the meantime, her home was slated for tax sale for December 21st, just a few weeks from now. Merry Christmas, right? Ms. Beth is disabled. Her physical problems stem from cancer treatments, which has left her with reduced motor skills in her hands and neuropathy in her lower legs and feet. She kind of lists when she walks. She had a stroke related to those treatments. That's what that comes from. And it causes her to lose track when she is speaking sometimes, may give her the appearance that she is drunk and slurring her words, when she is actually working very hard to communicate. It is sad to judge her from these externals. I believe we have found a workable solution for Ms. Barrett, but this process has been really hard. It has left me with many questions. The top question being, with thousands, literally thousands, of owner-occupied properties in arrears on property taxes, all of them with much larger debts than Ms. Barrett's, and yet they are not slated for sheriff sale, why was hers targeted? When I tried to ask for help from my local representative, I was treated with discourtesy, and he tried to make my client out to be at fault. To be told she deserved to lose her home, and I did not know the full story. And yet he didn't give me any details or actually ever connect me to the person I was told could answer my questions, because there was no person to give me any information about criminal proceedings against her. The only lawyer involved was the tax debt lawyer. But the implication had been made. Sorry, but Ms. Barrett is not the bad guy here. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Public comment. Yes, sir, come on down.
Good morning, Council.
Morning, sir.
My name is Chris Stormo, and I live in the Marsh Island Development in Lewis. Several months ago, I was made aware of the homeless site proposal put forth by Conley's Church and the Springboard Collaborative. During that time, there have been several iterations of the proposal. Last week, Justin Malone appeared on a radio talk show to discuss the proposal, and in addition, I've had multiple email communications with him. I'm here this morning to express my opposition to the proposal as soon to be presented by Mr. Malone. Homelessness is a very complex situation, and his proposal fails to address many of the core issues related to homelessness. It is not an issue that can be fixed in a 6 to 9 month stay in a pallet home. Does anyone really believe that you can provide sufficient training, counseling, education, employment, transportation, a permanent home, and ultimately self-sufficiency in such a short period of time? The proposal also does not allow TSC and Conley's to control the selection process. It does not mandate a no alcohol or drug use approach other than when they are in the compound. And without such a requirement, the program is sure to fail. Selection of candidates to be housed is not limited to the homeless who live in the Sussex County and Lewis area. Without running water and toilet facilities in the pallet homes, residents will be required to leave their premises and go to a common area for washing, showering, and sanitary purposes. Can you imagine taking a young child out of a warm shelter in the middle of a snowstorm to use the bathroom? The proposal does not address the issue of failure or dropout. Most importantly, this proposal does not provide residents with a sense of dignity, self-respect, and hope to change themselves and their lives. I'm proud to say that I'm now a Delaware resident of the in this great state. Quite frankly, we can and must do much better than the proposal. If we need a much broader permanent solution to the problem of homelessness here in Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, excuse me, can you spell your last name for me?
Sure. Stormo, S-T-O-R-M-O. First name, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Come on down.
Good morning. My name is Joanne Stormo. I live at 33513 Downing Circle in Lewis in the Marsh Island community. I would like to say that I agree with everything that my husband Chris just stated, but in addition, I would like to just emphasize the part of this forthcoming proposal, the part that is really catching my attention, the fact that any residents who could live in this homeless community do not need to be vetted for drug or alcohol use. To me, that raises so many concerns, not just for the homeless children who will be living there, but also for the young children who attend the Montessori school, which is right on the premises of the church also. Mr. Malone stated that there will be a security check in place to assure that they don't bring drugs or alcohol in, but what is going to stop them from using once they're outside of the facility? To me, this is just so counterproductive to trying to come with to a more permanent solution for the homeless situation in this county. We need definitely a better solution for this, and approving this shelter at Conley's, in my opinion, will not solve the problem. It is just putting a Band-Aid on it. I urge you, our council, to not approve this shelter once it is formally proposed. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Lady right here in front, get your hold down.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Elizabeth Barrett. I live in Lewis. I am here because my house is going to go to sheriff's sale on the 21st of December. I have been working with a social worker, Diana, who is just up here. I am in arrears of my taxes, and so I got notice that they're putting my house up for sheriff's sale. I've been working very hard to try and get help to help me pay this off. Right now, I'm disabled, and so I cannot work. I have severe neuropathy and you know, back treatments from when I had cancer. I also care for my partner. I'm his caregiver because he's very ill. I mean, we spent last summer, he was in the hospital almost the whole summer. He almost died twice. I'm trying to save my house because it's the only thing that I own. And I would be homeless if this small amount, it started out as a relatively small amount, and now it's up to $8,000-$9,000 because of taxes, the penalties and interest. I've tried seeking help to my family. They won't help me. I'm just hoping that you could either I'm very nervous.
Take your time.
I'd like if you would be able to either stop the sheriff's sale and extend the time I have to pay off the taxes. Like I said, this is the only thing I own. I don't know what I'd do if I lost my house. So I'm just asking you to give that consideration. Thank you so much.
Yes,
ma'am. Have a great day. God bless you all.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mr. President, is there someone here at the county that worked with the
sure.
these people?
Yeah.
And we'll make sure
yeah.
that we, the right we'll department.
Tina or whoever would be.
The right department will make sure that they're aware.
Thank you. Anyone else? I think in the back, I'd please come on down.
Good morning, council members. My name is Scott Ganello. A recent transplant to your beautiful state here. I'd like to talk a minute or so about the proposal for Connolly's Chapel. I have to agree with both Mr. and Mrs. Stormo. I don't think this is a good idea for this. I think putting families with children in a 64 square foot box is something that probably half the members in this room were screaming about a year ago. Kids in cages, do we all remember that? It's pretty much what we're doing at this point. I'd like to also add that I'm a recent retiree, and the value of my home is a big part of my nest egg for the rest of my life. Surveys show and studies show that houses within a close proximity to homeless shelters decrease in value by as much as 7%. Okay? Talking on a $500,000 house, you're talking $35,000. Might not seem a lot to everybody in this room, but it's a lot to me who's on a fixed income at this point. So I would have to say I'm not in favor of it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Can you spell your last name?
Sure.
G-O-N-N-E. Anyone else in the audience? Yes, ma'am. Come on down, please.
Good morning, Council. My name is Deborah Ganello. I agree with my husband, Scott, and also Mr. and Mrs. Stormo. We just moved into Delaware from New Jersey, and the Connolly Chapel project. You know, people say in your own backyard, well, basically, my property backs up to one street that backs up to this property where they're going to put these homeless shelters. And I do not feel like this is going to be an answer for these people that are homeless. I feel like they shouldn't be out in the middle of nowhere. No transportation. They're basically out in the middle of the woods. They should be closer where they can work, get jobs, flourish in a community. You're putting them out there, they say it's temporary, but from what I've read and what I've researched, they say they're temporary, but they can stay there as long as they want. How are children living in a little 8x8 or 10x10 box. They need daycare facilities. They need laundry facilities. There's a lot of other things that come into other than just putting up these little boxes and putting these families in it. My property backs up to it. They say no drug, no alcohol. They basically have to walk down the street from here to the parking lot to go to a liquor store. That's the only thing that's out there, a liquor store and a Dollar General. I feel like they should be in a building where they have heat and running water and rooms where they can have classrooms and things where they can learn, you know, for work and everything else. I just don't feel like putting them out in the middle of a shed, in the middle of a farm, is going to do these people any good. And I also agree with everything else and everything, you know, that's been said here today. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in the audience? Anyone else in the audience? Operator, would you check online, please, if anybody wants to make public comment?
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comment, dial 5-star. We have our first caller on the line. Georgia, your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
My name is Georgia Johnson, and I will be a transplant to your beautiful state in about 4 months when my home is completed on Mark Island. I just want to make a brief comment regarding the homeless housing, and I agree with everything that Chris and Joanne Stormo have said. I also want to just say, could you please consider a facility such as a hotel, a motel, or a convalescent hospital that has a lot of individual rooms, individual restrooms, places for counselors that may be helpful, such as substance abuse counselors, employment counselors. I want to see the homeless people have some hope. These little constructed 64 square feet boxes would be good for my dog, but they're not good for people, and especially not for children. I think that if you were to put them into a facility where there is space, where there may be even, communal dining facility or something, that would give these people hope, and it would have them see that there is a light at the end of this long, dark tunnel. And I thank you for listening.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
We have our next caller on the line, Jin Lee. Your line is now open. Please state your name and address for the record before making your comment.
Hi, this is Jean Lessica, and I am calling regarding the Conley proposal also. I am definitely opposed to this. I had this speech I was going to say, but pretty much everyone had said what I was thinking, so I don't want to be redundant and waste your time. But I do want to add that I currently live in Connecticut, and I was moving to Delaware. Very soon. I can't wait. I'm super excited. But we currently do live near a homeless shelter, ironically enough. And I will tell you that over the years, we have seen the neighborhood change. We have baking shops all over the place now, smoke shops. Now with the marijuana, we now have a dispensary here, very close by. We even had a drive-by shooting last year in our community. So obviously this is a concern for us since we live near a homeless shelter now in Connecticut, and now we will be moving next to one in Delaware. So those are my concerns, as well as the concerns that everybody else has brought up. And I just want to go on record about this.
Thank you, ma'am.
We have our next caller on the line. Dawn, your line is now open. Please state your name and address to the record before making your comment.
Hello, my name is Dawn Baroni, and I'm just calling today because I just want to follow up about this Connolly. I agree with everything that was said today. from Mr. and Mrs. Stormo and the other people that had called in, but I just wanted to also touch on something. I'm going to be moving down from New York to the great state of Delaware. We're very excited, me and my family. We're having a house built in Marsh Island. And I have another perspective that I want to bring to you. I have worked with the homeless population with a program called the Midnight Run. I have done this with my church twice a year, going down and helping those people. And these pallets are not going to help them. They need to be in a structured environment where they have counselors to oversee and help them. Most of them suffer from mental illness, and we need to make sure that they're taking their medication, because if they don't take their medication, it's not good. It's a recipe for disaster. So I'm looking at it from a mental health standpoint, that they would not be getting the treatment and services that they need with these pallet homes. It would be best, like somebody had touched on, a building, a hotel, where there are counselors there that are well-trained with mental illness and can help them. So that I really wanted to touch on, because it's a very important aspect. They need more than what can be given at Conley. And I thank you guys for your time today. Appreciate it. And thank you for listening to my concerns.
Thank you, ma'am.
If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comments, please dial 5-star. If anyone has joined via the conference line and would like to make public comments, please dial 5-star. At this time, we have no one who wishes to speak.
Thank you.
Mr. President.
Mr. Schaefer.
Sorry to interrupt you. Ms. Futcher, I think, wanted to say something, and she missed her chance. Would you allow her to make a quick comment?
Sure. Come on down.
Okay, good morning. Thank you for having me speak, Sussex County Council. June Rose Futcher, 11 Iowa Avenue, Lewis, Delaware. Thank you, Mr. Schaefer, for supporting me, continue to support me along with Doug Hudson for the grant process for the Police Unity Tour. We'll be riding again, and we're excited for a united and complete Unity Tour in 2022, despite the challenges with the pandemic. I wanted to express my gratitude for the previous years of support as a native of Sussex County, representing my fallen grandfather, who was a Sussex County Constable and Lewis Police Department town officer, who died in the line of duty in 1939. I'm proud to also share with Sussex County and members here present today that I have the blessing of the Heacook family to dedicate the Police Unity Tour to Corporal Heacook, who died in the line of duty just several months ago. We were at a special event a couple of days ago with the Delaware Concerns of Police Survivors. So with that, I thank you all very much and would like to remind you, when we will be here next May, I want to make sure we coordinate that members of Sussex County government can greet the Police Unity Tour as we come into Lewis from Cape May. I gave you a copy of the article, and I want to thank Mr. Hudson for standing with me, along with many members of the community, last year for a special photograph on the day we lost our grandfather in 1939. So please take a moment to read that article and learn a little bit more. I know you all have been paying attention to this and supporting this program. It means everything to me to be able to represent our grandfather, the Futcher family, as one of the oldest families here in Delaware and Delmarva, and also to represent Sussex County and the state of Delaware as a native. So thank you very much for your support. It means everything to me.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Miss, anybody else? Yes, sir.
Drive. She has my sympathy. My name's Holland Van Valkenburg. I live here in Georgetown. I have a modest proposal for the council. I'd like you to adopt it. So this is just an introduction, if you will. First, let me assure you, I have no axe to grind. I will get no remuneration or make any gain if you do what I'm suggesting. I'm not a tree hugger. I do not espouse their agenda. And as most of the people who know me will tell you, I'm not greatly in favor of regulation. However, what I am proposing is that the council adopt an ordinance that any development in the county of Sussex that includes four or more dwellings, including apartments, be required to include as part of the design and construction of the houses or apartment buildings integrated solar panels. Such panels should be certified to cover at least 100% of the expected normal or need or 80% of the expected peak need. And this is the calculation that I think is usually provided when you're asking for a credit. So it's a standard amount. The developer should then negotiate or shall negotiate on behalf of the project with whichever power company is providing electric service to assure that inverters and other equipment are compatible and that excess power shall be accepted by the primary service provider. Now, what's the rationale for this? When I first moved back to Delaware in the 80s, I experienced frequent brownouts, just living right in the center of town. Since then, we've had periodic service outs from anything from 15 seconds to 2 or 3 hours. Now, sometimes that's due to accidents. Somebody knocked down a power pole or something of that nature. But since the 1980s, our Sussex County population has grown at least tenfold, while our sources of power have grown less robustly and are now about to decline with the loss of energies and RG's coal-fired plant. Meanwhile, otherwise arable land is being used as solar farms by both Delmarva Power and the co-op, as I'm sure you all know. Also, since the 1980s, our demand per household for electricity has grown exponentially. I have no figures, but you know this. As everyone uses computers, multiple TV sets, electric appliances, air conditioning, and most expensive, many now, much to my surprise, elect to use electric heat. Around the corner is the demand for every house to come with an automatic charging station. This requirement is just common sense. You have already approved expansive development and the concomitant infrastructure of roads and drainage. You've also provided or required provision of potable water. So it is not unreasonable to add power to the mix.
If you could kind of wrap it up, you got your 3 minutes.
The rest is rationale as to why it makes sense. And I would propose, lastly, that not only do you do this for private dwellings, but that you also consider it for public and commercial buildings of a certain size, whatever makes sense.
Okay.
Questions?
Can I have the spelling of your last name, please?
I have it all spelled out for you.
Yeah, exactly. If you can leave that document with the clerk down there.
I'll give them all to her. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
That's okay.
We're going to close public comment. We're going to go to Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you recall, a few weeks ago, I announced the start of the county redistricting process. As I explained, the process is mandated by the U.S. Supreme Court. And during this process, there are several guardrails that we must consider. Obviously, we must keep the number of citizens within an acceptable deviation of the 47,475, that we keep our communities of interest together to the extent possible, that our lines follow roadways or streams, and that municipal boundaries are considered, just to name a few. I announced that we were going to essentially follow the procedure that was established during the last redistricting 10 years ago. We announced the process and allowed public comment and input prior to the public hearing 10 years ago. We then listed those comments and drafted maps and an ordinance. We then held a public hearing on those maps. That is the same process that we are following this year. When I made my presentation on the process, I announced that the public comment process would start that day through December 1 of 2021. We have received many comments, which I will summarize here. There were several comments concerning appointing a commission for the purpose of drafting new maps. As I stated during my presentation, the Delaware Code gave that directive to the other counties, but not to Sussex. Therefore, the council, and only the council or its designee, has the authority to draft the redistricting. Second, there were also comments addressing the need for county elections for the upcoming cycle for each county council person. Well, the schedule of election of Sussex County Council members is set by 9 Del Code Section 7002, subsection W, and no section authorizes a deviation from that schedule. Subsection V specifically addresses redistricting and is silent to alerting or starting the or changing that established procedure. Furthermore, I've checked with our counterparts in the other two counties, and they too do not have elections for all county council persons or commissioners following redistricting. They too follow the same procedure that we do. One comment indicating that the person did not approve of the new redistricting map. I can assure that citizen that there is no new redistricting map at this time. 10 years ago, when we went through this new process that I outlined, the League of Women Voters commented at the public hearing on the ordinance as follows. The League of Women Voters commends the county for providing the opportunity for public input into 2011 redistricting process for the first time in history. This is a significant step in the right direction. This year, the League has submitted a map for our review. Many have commented favorably on the map and suggested that we use it as a basis for drawing districts. Others submitted either deviations from our current districts or from the League of Women Voters maps and gave reason for their potential changes. I have studied those maps and I also find much merit in their proposal. I am in the process of finalizing my draft maps and intend to have them available next week to share with the public. I thank all those that took time to submit comments. As we indicated when we set up this process, this was not a window dressing process. We are looking very seriously at those comments. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's Report for December 7th, 2001, Item 1, Caroling on the Circle. Mr. President, unfortunately, we had to postpone last night's caroling due to the weather forecast, which included high winds, which we feared would affect the performers and the equipment, which is erected temporarily around the stage. However, I am excited to announce that Caroling on the Circle has been rescheduled for next Monday, December 13th, 2021 at 6:30 p.m. As you know, this is a free event sponsored by the Sussex County Council each year. Everyone is welcome and encouraged to attend and to bring a food item for the less fortunate if they can afford to do so. The Pack the Pod campaign will remain in full swing until the end of December. Item 2. Per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Microtel Inn and Suites Tanger Seaside received substantial completion effective November 24th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Old business, Mr. Whitehouse.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. We have two items of old business on the agenda this morning. The first is conditional use 2259, filed on behalf of the Evergreen Companies LLC, care of Tim Norton. And Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held on August 10th of this year. And at the conclusion of the public hearing, Council deferred for further action, further consideration. The application is for a parcel of land lying on the north side of Fred Hudson Road, which is Sussex County Route 360, approximately a quarter of a mile east of Cedar Neck Road. The parcel size is 11.96 acres and the application is a conditional use application for multi-family dwellings.
Question to the council.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
You want to repeat what you said? I apparently didn't hear you back there.
Sure, yes. So a very short summary that this is a conditional use application that was considered at County Council at its meeting of August 10th of this year. The application is for multi-family dwelling units, 30 units, and the property is an 11.96-acre parcel located on the north side of Fred Hudson Road, which is Sussex County Route 360, approximately 0.25 mile east of Cedar Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 357. And at the meeting of August 10th, it was deferred for further consideration.
Question of council? Question of council. Mr. Moore, would you read the short title, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential zoning district for multifamily dwelling units, 30 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.96 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 8 with conditions 9A through S. And I will point out that during the hearing there were two suggested amendments on that as well.
What were the amendments?
The amendments there was suggested that be amended to include an additional buffer, because originally in N there was it did not include the buffer shall continue along the north boundary from the site's northwest corner to a point where the county sewer easement begins. From that point to the point of the existing county sewer tie-in, the applicant shall construct a privacy fence at least 6 feet in height along the northern boundary. And also the other potential amendment was condition R, which would change, and let me pull that up, Mr. President. As stated, the failure to abide by these conditions shall result in the termination of the conditional use. When we looked at other conditional uses we had, instead of having that word shall, others indicated may be the grounds for A instead of shall.
Okay. Does anyone want to make either one of these two amendments? Is N, Mr. Moore, is that to replace the N we have, or
no,
is that an addition?
That is an addition.
Okay.
I would like to make those amendments.
Okay, Mr. Hudson wants to make those two amendments. Mr. Moore, can we do them both at the same time?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Hudson, do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. We're going to vote now only on the amendments, which adds a buffered area and a fence, and then changes the word shall to may. Any questions on that? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
I vote yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Now then, Mr. Moore.
Yes.
Read short title again with amendments.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential zoning district for multifamily dwelling units, 30 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 11.96 acres more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning 1 through 8 with the conditions 9A through S as amended by this council.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Schaefer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. President, I have real concerns about the traffic in the area. The traffic has gotten worse and worse in the area of Fred Hudson Road and Cedar Neck Road over the years. And I understand that DelDOT has the final word on traffic impacts and the road improvements that, and we must rely on what's in the record regarding the traffic and the roads. But there was also a lot of compelling testimony from people who live in the area and deal with the traffic every day. They testified to the roads and intersections in the area being overburdened, and now, and I agree with that information and testimony that was given in the record. I visited the area several times over the summer at different times of the day, different days of the week, and I witnessed some of the traffic backups from Cedar Neck Road going east all the way past where the proposed entrance of this community is. I also saw backups from Route 1 for at least a half mile going westbound. On the other hand, no party in the area testified in favor of the application. And I realize that a land use application is not a popularity contest. I also feel that I have to look at what's in the record in support of this application and against it when making a legislative decision like this. In this case, there was a lot of opposition based on credible reasons and nothing in the record supporting the requested conditional use other than information provided by the applicant. I believe this application, if approved, would be detrimental to the health, safety, and welfare of the neighboring property owners and pedestrians and motorists in the area. For these reasons, I'm voting no.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Schaefer.
Mr. President, I will vote yes. I listened to the testimony. I visited the site. I support the vote of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and I vote yes as amended.
Mr. Green.
Based on the recommendation from Planning and Zoning and with the amendments here today, I will vote yes.
Mr. Riley.
I will say that I agree with the logic and the reasons offered by Councilman Hudson, and my vote is no.
I also have listened to the testimony at the hearing. I visited the site a couple of times. I didn't see a backup, but I'm sure it was there. But I'm going to say I agree with the findings of planning and zoning, the reason and conditions amended. I'm going to vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Our next item of all business, Mr. President, is change of zone number 1936, filed on behalf of OABP Marina Bay Lakeside LLC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing on the application, which was held at Council's last meeting on November 30th. And at the conclusion of that public hearing, County Council deferred action on the application for further consideration. Just to recap, that this is a change of zone application specifically to amend the conditions of approval for the Peninsula development, specifically relating to the maximum number and types of housing permitted within that MRRPC. It's lying on the south side, south end of Bay Farm Road, which is Sussex County Route 299, and also on the south side of Trinity Road, which is Sussex County Route 299A. The change of zone is for approximately 778 acres, more or less.
Question of council. Questions of council. Mr. Moore, your title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential planned community, to a MRRPC, medium density residential district, residential planned community, to amend conditions of approval of change of zone number 1883, ordinance number 2690, and change of zone number 1475, ordinance number 1573, relating to the maximum number and types of housing permitted for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 778.39 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning number 1 through 7.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley. Any questions on the motion? Thank you, Mr. Hudson.
I vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Schaefer.
I will also vote yes based on the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Mr. Green.
I will vote yes based on the recommendation of planning and zoning.
Mr. Riley.
I vote yes based on planning and zoning's reasons.
I also vote planning and zoning's reasons. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is Ocean Waves Quilt Guild. They are requesting $3,000 for their art quilt show and community service outreach. This organization provides care and comfort to over 35 organizations such as hospitals and homeless shelters. Last grant awarded to this organization was $4,000 from Mr. Burton in October 2020 for community outreach expenses. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
Mr. President, I would like to offer $1,500 from the 3rd District taxpayers' account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. To grant $1,500 from Mr. Schaefer's Council MAG account to the Ocean Waves Quilt Guild for a art/quilt show and community service outreach expenses. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
Riley.
Yes.
I will have motion carried. Next.
Okay. The last one's the Police Unity Tour Chapter 10. They're requesting $1,000 recycling tour expenses. The last grant awarded this organization was $500, which is $250 each from Mr. Burton and Mr. Hudson in December 2020. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer $500 from the 3rd District Taxpayers Account.
Anyone else want to?
I would donate $250 from my account, please.
What's the request for again?
$1,000.
I'll make up the difference.
Okay. I have a motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 to the Police Unity Tour Chapter X, the cycling tour operation, logistics and provisions and accommodations, being $500, Mr. Schaefer's Council MAC account, $250, Mr. Hudson's Council MAC account, and $250, Mr. Raleigh's Council MAC account. Question on the motion. We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will have motion carried. Introduction proposed zoning ordinance, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. There are several. The first one's in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C3 heavy commercial district for a portion of a certain parcel of land lying being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 8.27 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Hudson introduces it.
The next one is also in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a medium density residential district for a portion of certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres, more or less.
Hudson introduces it.
The next one likewise is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily units, 140 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 17.63 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce that one too.
Hudson introduces it.
And the last one's in Mr. Riley's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a zoological park to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 7.24 acres, more or less.
I will introduce that.
Mr. Riley introduces.
And that is all.
Council member comments. Council member comments.
I would like to make a comment.
Mr. Hudson.
I think this is a very important day 80 years ago, and I would like to recognize the Pearl Harbor Day and the people that gave their lives defending our country.
Absolutely. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Good comment.
80 years.
Good comment.
Quick comment on
Mr. Riley.
The presentation and discussion about redistricting kind of got past me quickly. When is the public hearing on all this? And
what'll happen after I bring the maps forward, we're going to give the public a chance to look at those and council. They will be made public. And then in the 1st of January, I'm not sure it'll be if the first meeting or second meeting, we will actually introduce an ordinance. And at that point, it will be scheduled for a public hearing. Because of scheduling issues, I would anticipate that occurring probably the first week or second week of February and then be complete.
Okay, I was just wondering about the timeline. So
yes.
Sometime between now and January, you'll have this publicized.
Oh, yes.
People can review.
Probably next week.
Next week.
Yes.
And then we'll schedule the hearing. People have time to digest it. And
it will be. I will show it next week because, as we did 10 years ago, we let the people see the map before I actually draft the ordinance. And then we'll probably have the maps for view next week. And then probably the first or second week of January, actually I'll have the ordinance drafted, and then it'll be scheduled for the public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The only other thing I want to maybe make a quick comment on is the whole homeless issue is something that I'm tracking closely. I'm quite sure the other members of council are as well. And I applaud the initiative. I think it's tremendous that they're trying to address the issue. But obviously there's no proposal out on the table at this point, so there's really no basis for a comment, on that specific topic, other than we're watching it and we're concerned making sure that we represent everybody's interests adequately.
Yeah. If I may follow up on that, Mr. President.
Sure.
Typically, with public comments, as you know, if there's anything that's coming actively zoning before council, I cut those off. In this case, there has been no ordinance introduced, or there's been no application made, so therefore we allowed the public comments. However, if there is a public hearing coming in the future on this matter, I will just caution council to be sure and make their decisions based on the public record established at that time, based on that specific proposal.
Right. Mr. President.
Mr. Schaefer.
Make a comment on the homeless situation. Obviously, we do have a concern, and we do have many homeless people in the county. It was disappointing to learn that the Code Purple shelter couldn't even open because they didn't have volunteers to man it, which is disheartening. You know, we hear from the proponents and then of these proposed shelters, particularly at Connolly's Chapel, and unfortunately we can't even get volunteers to show up and man the shelters when we need them to be open. I can tell you, I have slept on the floor of the Salvation Army a few nights as a chaperone at a homeless shelter, and volunteers are very important, and you know, that's probably the first thing we need to tackle before we decide to build additional shelters. We need to get the ones that we have up and operating.
Thank you, sir. Any more comments from council? Comments from council? Entertaining a motion to go to executive session for pending potential litigation, land acquisition, and personnel.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley. I vote yes. We're now in executive session.